If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Mark, thank you so much for your time. So, I mean, I've given the listeners sort of a simple explanation in terms of what you do. But before we even get to that, take me back to what prompted you and your co-founder to come up with the idea, or rather with the business of Pay Just Now.
Hey, Nasisha, thanks for having me on. So Buy Now, Pay Later was like pretty popular worldwide, but where it was working, everybody was paid every 2 weeks. And in South Africa, you get paid monthly. So we had to figure out how we could do this and sort of squeeze in monthly payments instead of every 2 weeks. And basically the convert of it was like in South Africa, the sort of the hybrid of, if I walked into a shop and I put down a deposit and I said I wanted a lay-by, that was huge. So we converted lay-by into Buy Now, Pay Later. And that's basically how it was sold.
What attracted you to that business model? Because to some people, that might be a little bit, you know, tricky.
I mean, we're all used to paying for stuff that we're waiting for. But when you pay for something and you get to walk away with the goods straight away, that's a great trade-off. And to be fair, with an emerging market of people that are averse to a credit of environment, so I don't want to take credits. I don't want to take sort of the risk of interest and fees. It's converting that into paying it now and taking the payment straight away.
Okay, so I mean, I've seen sort of models of the buy now, pay later scheme in the US. Take me through how yours is either similar to what we've seen in the US, or in what ways it's different.
No, it's not different, but it's fit for purpose to the South African market. In the US, everybody gets paid. Sort of weekly, bi-weekly or monthly, and they get to take away their payments interest and fee free. In South Africa, it's exactly the same. But you don't have to worry about the impact of that on your credit score, on your cash flow, and you get to leave with the goods straight away and you don't have to have a labor.
Is there a limit to how much of the, well, how much the goods cost?
Oh, yeah. You know, you have to be conscientious about it. So, I mean, we would not want to put somebody into duress by making them like take on a commitment that was beyond their sort of realistic sort of expectation of being able to commit to. So it's very similar to a normal traditional loan. If you can't sort of meet the obligation, then you know you wouldn't be able to. But we use sort of the information and the data available to us to say, well, what is the realistic expectation that you will meet this, and basically from that is to say, well, okay, you can make that commitment or not.
Mm. To the listeners, I mean, it sounds a little bit simplistic, but let's break it down for the listeners. Say I walk into a retail store and I see a pair of shoes that are in excess of, say, 10,000 rand, and I'm being, you know, indulgent here. What happens next? I see the shoes, I see the price tag. How does it then work?
Okay, so 10,000 rand, first of all, for a pair of shoes, that's huge.
I said indulgent.
So effectively, in South Africa, typically people are paid monthly. So it's what can I afford every month? So you'd have to break that down into 10,000 divided by 3 months. Can I afford 3,333 a month? And that's the reality. Now, if you can do that, and this indulgent 10,000 rand pair of shoes is worth it, then you can commit to it. We will take the first R3,333 mm-hmm. as an installment, and you can leave the store with those shoes and wear them to your next engagement.
Okay.
And then over the next 2 months, we will take those that installment of three per month, mm-hmm. and we'll pay it down.
All right. How does the relationship work between yourself and the retailers? How does that all come about?
Oh, so that's really the cool part of it, is that it's actually the retailer that realizes that their relationship is actually with the consumer. The consumer can either afford it or not. And that affordability decision is made in the moment. Can I afford to make this purchase right now? Or can I pay it off over a month, 2 months, 3 months? Or do I need to put it on my credit card? Mm. Now, we are not involved in that decision if you're going to put it on your credit card or if you are able to pay it off straight away. Mm. But if it is just beyond reach, and I can pay it off over two or three installments, that's where we come into the play, mm. where you can actually walk away with the goods, allow you to pay it off over three installments, and you get to walk out and empower yourselves to have that product right now, right as you walk out, by paying it off with PayStop.
So then how do people then access this? Is it like an app, or is it, how does it all work in terms of your relationship then with that consumer when you take that first R3,500 for my very expensive R10,000 shoes?
Oh, yeah. So all you need to do is go to PayStyle.com, sign up, and we'll tell you what you qualify for. And then you can use that anywhere where you qualify, where PayStyle is available as a payment option. All you need to do is give us a couple of details about yourself. It takes about 2.5 minutes to sign up. You link your bank card, and then you can transact straight away.
That's fascinating. So, I mean, the success you've seen in this space between yourself and the partner, and your partner, and the appetite to want to engage with you from the consumer side, what have you seen?
You know, it's actually been a surreal journey, because we actually launched just before COVID took off. And there was this hold on e-commerce. And we entered into that COVID sort of environment where e-commerce was sort of blanket. There was a hold on it, and we told people that they could actually support the brands that they loved. And the beauty of it was that people supported the brands in South Africa, the small businesses, and were able to purchase products, split their payments over three installments, keep those products alive. And as a result of it, they were able to create sort of like this community of consumers and merchants and brands and products that added value to the South African consumer. And for me, that's the most beautiful story. Was ultimately what's come from it is we've taken somebody we've taken an environment where people have wanted to contribute, and we've transitioned into a place where people are actually empowering themselves by being able to buy quality, durable products once and improve their sort of ability to participate.
How do you make money in a space like this? For I'm sure there are, you know, listeners who are thinking, okay, I understand the behind the scenes, I know what you do, but how do you make money? How do you sort of negotiate, I suppose, call it the fee or the rate? How does it all work?
So our relationship is with the merchants. They pay a fee to process the transaction. We charge a fee to process the transaction. But we give a facility to our consumers, and that is the premium that we charge for. So our merchants pay us to process the transaction, and the consumers enjoy that for free.
What were the early days of the business like between yourself and your partner as you have now figured out this is what you want to do and now it's about getting the ball rolling? What were the early days like?
Oh, we're 5 years old now. And actually, we only realized that about, a few weeks ago, where we actually looked back and said, wow, it's been such a journey. It's never been this fast, and it'll never be this slow again. That's actually a saying within our organization. And the reality is that it's about being in the right position. It's not about us. It's not really even about the merchant partner that we're trying to achieve to join us. It's about the consumer. Mm. And so as we grow, the utility evolves. So in the early days, it was about apparel and fashion, and then it grew into like utility and health for the home. There's a lot of amazing stories about people that have actually shared with us how by being able to use PagerStyle, they were able to do something that they weren't able to do. Mm. And that's really the secret sauce at the heart of it is there's a consumer, there's a merchant, mm-hmm. and there's a financier. And the financier doesn't always have to be a credit financier.
Yeah. If I'm doing my maths correctly, and if you said that you're 5 years old, that means, your business would have been in existence around the COVID time. What was COVID like for you?
That was a tough part, eh? we launched in August 2019, which was sort of 4 or 5 months before COVID. So me and the two co-founders, we were in different sort of geographies of the Western Cape while we were building it. And all of a sudden, we heard this decree that it was like no deliveries and no e-commerce allowed. We had about 5 or 6 merchant partners sort of on our platform. So we took our entire budget and we told everybody that loved those merchants, listen, you don't know when they can deliver to you, but if you buy from them and split it over 3, we will pay them and keep them alive. And I think for me that was the turning point that for us was like in COVID. Mm. There was that moment of everybody coming together to support the brands, the people, the communities that they sort of supported and loved. Mm. It was really a telling moment for me. Yeah. It was when I realized that this is when it's going to work, because as a result of that, we were inundated with that wanted to have.
Yeah. You are still with us, Mark. I feel like we lost you there for a second.
Oh,
there we are.
Can you hear?
Yes, we can hear you now. So you mentioned there are two other partners, if I'm not mistaken. So they're the 3 of you.
No, so there were 3 co-founders.
3 co-founders. So what I want to ask is, when you think about the relationship, what do you each bring to the table? And be honest, I promise they're not listening to you.
Yeah. No. The beauty of it is that people with differences of opinion always bring something different to the table, and so long as you respect them and appreciate what they bring to the table and take it on board, then you can make it work. I mean, the 3 of us all had different skill sets. Craig was technology. Mm-hmm. Greg was was sort of focused on sort of retail, the environment, and I was more on sort of like the analytics. You get to a place where you understand where you complement each other.
Yeah.
And that complementarity is super important.
Okay.
And a lot of people like starting businesses today try and go on their own and try and do everything by themselves, but then try and do everything by themselves.
Yeah.
And that's really tough. You know, because when you try and do everything by yourself, you kind of assume that you're an expert of all of it. And I think, like, for me in our story, we all appreciated the skills that each of us bought, and we sat back and listened.
Yeah.
And took it in and didn't argue the point.
Okay. So we're talking about the serious stuff. On a lighthearted note, who is the funny one and who is the more serious one in the room?
So I actually thought about the other day. So Greg and I have very similar laughs.
Okay.
But he laughs more than I do.
Okay, cool.
So, Craig and Dean was the fourth guy that joined us more recently, are more like worried about the financial part of it. So they're more the serious guys. So we don't really pay too much attention to that.
Okay.
But the important thing is that at the end of the day, that you can all sit back and like as mates and with a common purpose, say, this is what we want to achieve, and work towards a common vision.
Speaking of a common vision, as we wrap up, what's next for you and the rest of the co-founders? What are you working on?
So, 2024 is what we want to get past. We've got a huge Black Friday ahead of us. We've sort of grown sort of 17 times the size of what we were last year. So it's grappling with like what to expect from that. We've got just over 2 million consumers, 2,700 merchants with 8,000 sort of places where you can shop. So our focus for the last quarter is to make sure that the utility that we promised our consumers are available and will work. But beyond that would be to, you know, to say like what's next is at the heart of what we set out to achieve was to make the silicon consumer sort of empowered to participate and evolve and get more from their relationship with the silicon economy. So yeah, I mean, it's all about the learning, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, Mark, thank you so much for making time to talk to us this evening. That is Mark McCleary, who is the co-founder of Paige Just Now, talking about how it all works, but also taking us through the past 5 years for him and the rest of the co-founders. So thank you so much for that.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.